born to broadcast. Television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Fritz and Friends, 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Scott Eckersley. I hope you're having a good evening. We're just going to jump right into this next one. With me on the line is Representative, Michigan Representative Rick Jones of Eaton County, but I should correct it and say soon-to-be Senate-elect Rick Jones of Grand Ledge. How are you this evening?
Wonderful, Cheryl. Good to talk with you.
Very good to talk with you again as well during this holiday season. First of all, I want to start out with congratulations in order. You've been appointed to lead the Michigan Senate's Judiciary Committee in your very first term in the Senate. How does that feel, and how'd that come about?
Well, the leader of the Senate, Randy Richardville, asked me to take it because of my experience in law enforcement. And I have served on the House Judiciary for three terms now. I was taught originally by my mentor, Bill Van Riggenmorter, who I think everybody recognizes in the Michigan area as a real leader in judiciary.
Absolutely. What challenges do you think you're going to face in this? We'll get to in the Senate as well, but in this position specifically.
Well, many communities are calling for some sort of regulation on medical marijuana, not getting rid of it, but simply having some legislation that would control it somewhat. Right now, it's like the Wild Wild West. There is absolutely nothing. It's all gray because it was a ballot initiative, and it simply was put on there by a group that wanted to totally legalize marijuana. And so there probably will be some challenges in that area. I think also we're going to have to work on complying with the federal Adam Walsh Act to protect children and making sure that our state complies with that act.
Well, maybe I'll jump back into that right away. How is the state not complying with that? And maybe you can flesh that out a little bit in terms of what that act is and what it says.
Well, it's my understanding that now, I'm not an attorney, but it's my understanding that we need to pass legislation so we're in total compliance with it and make sure that anybody involved with criminal sexual conduct is appropriately treated in our system.
Okay. You also mentioned medical marijuana, which, boy, is that getting talked about around water coolers and so forth. Of course, because it was a ballot issue, I guess the phrase that comes to mind for me is they kind of put the cart before the horse. They said it's okay for this to be out there before really thinking through what it was going to mean for communities.
Well, you have to remember this was a ballot initiative that was put on the ballot by a group that simply wants legalized marijuana. So there was very little concern for communities having dispensaries all over the place and some of them operating in various manners that perhaps are not legal. So I think it's the legislature's job to clarify what the people of Michigan wanted. And I do believe that people that are in pain, if it's a senior that has cancer or pain and they need the product and they use it in their own home, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with what's going on right now. For example, in Williamston, we had a marijuana bar that sprung up. People were consuming the product and then driving away.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what does your law enforcement background tell you about just an instance like that or other problems that may come up with this?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of problems that could come up if people drive after consuming the product. In fact, in Eaton County, we had just such an incident. It was reported that a lady took her product to a friend's house. Various friends gathered, and they were watching a horror movie. And she used her product and became so paranoid, she drove away at a high rate of speed, crashed her car, and called 911 on herself. When the deputies arrived, they found her vehicle backwards in a ditch and had to arrest her for driving under the influence of drugs.
And that, and I do remember that story, and that, that may not be an uncommon story. I live in Meridian Township, Rick, and there's talk of one not too far from my home. And part of the problem is one of the issues that came up was it being open 24 hours a day. And currently that's not against the law.
That's true. And, you know, it's, there isn't any legal guide to cities and townships to tell them how they can regulate this. So you could have something that opens 24 hours. It could be next to a school. It could be in a bad traffic area. Certainly, we don't want people consuming on the premises and then driving away. It is, by the way, already illegal to drive under the influence of marijuana. But if you create a marijuana bar, certainly you add to the problems, and most people are not going to bring a driver with them.
So you see that as being part of your job in the Senate, not only with head of the Judiciary Committee, but just all of you in the Senate will be wrangling with this issue and trying to clarify.
I believe that's going to be a big issue, other than, of course, the budget that is number one that we'll be dealing with right away.
How did you feel about the wrap-up to this year, the last few weeks of this administration and your time in the House of Representatives?
Well, I was very dissatisfied with this administration in the final weeks. There have been contracts signed that could affect the state for many years and cost a great deal of money. Makes it tougher for Rick Snyder to come in and reinvent the state. Hopefully so we can attract businesses that bring jobs for our children and grandchildren. And I'm very disappointed in the last few months of Governor Granholm's administration. In fact, I opposed purchasing the floor of an old casino in Detroit for $15 million. Now, this was purchased condominium style, and then state police crime lab personnel will be forced into it. It simply wasn't needed, just like the state police headquarters downtown. It simply wasn't needed. And this is the sort of thing that we're going to have to do in the future, reinvent Michigan and not waste the taxpayers' money. There also has been a lot of what's known as burrowing. Different people that work for the governor have been given civil service jobs. And I question that practice as being good for Michigan.
Absolutely. You mentioned the former Michigan State Police headquarters, and you were outspoken about first of all the move to downtown, and then what's left with the building in East Lansing.
Yes, you know, we were leasing the building in East Lansing from MSU for $1 a year. We could have stayed there another 20 years. There was no pressing need to push forward with a new building. There was a leaky roof. The roof could have been fixed. And every state police officer I talked to of all ranks, well over 200, told me they were satisfied with staying there. They didn't want to see their budget saddled with another debt, so troopers got laid off. And that is exactly what happened. Unfortunately, the governor pushed through the program downtown Lansing, and it cost a great deal of money. Now, what was left for MSU? MSU has hired a firm to analyze the structure out there. And we have to remember, what was there initially was a poultry building and a vacant land.
Okay.
So now what do we have? $4.2 million worth of toxic problems. We have additional buildings put up by the state some 75 years ago approximately, full of asbestos. So when they're torn down, you have to have asbestos abatement. We have fluids that leaked when fluids were changed in cars. We have an old gun range out there with lead problems. We have transformers with PCBs. So we have a big cleanup problem out there, and the state has told MSU, sorry, it's your problem, we're leaving it.
And, of course, the state doesn't have the money to clean something like that up.
Yes, currently right now it would be tough finding the money to take care of that problem.
Any solutions that you see? You feel it's whose responsibility to clean that up?
Well, I publicly said that I think the state should take care of 80% of the cost, because the only thing that was there was a poultry building and pristine land, and now we've got a problem out there. Certainly, we have added approximately 80% of the problem, and we should address that. It should have been figured in the initial cost of moving to the new headquarters. It was not, probably for political reasons, because they wanted to keep the cost lower, hoping to get it passed, and it did finally pass, although it was voted down three times before it finally passed.
So now we're left with the problem moving into the next year and a new administration.
Yes, that's unfortunate, but that problem is left for the new administration.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to be back with much more from Senator-elect Rick Jones of Eaton County. You're listening to Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS.
You're listening to Fritz and Friends on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, everybody. Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Scott Eckersley. Still on the line with us, Senator-elect Rick Jones of Grand Ledge. We're going to jump back in now with some other things going on for you. One of the issues that you're going to be working on is health insurance benefits. It didn't get resolved the way you wanted it to in the legislature. Maybe you can explain that for us.
Well, you know, it's pretty shocking. You can go to the House of Representatives in the state, be there 6 years, and have lifetime health insurance in your retirement. I think that's outrageous. Most people would work 25 or 30 years for a company to get the same benefit. 6 years is simply outrageous. Now, we did pass a bill in the House to end those lifetime benefits. And it passed. It went to the Senate. The Senate amended it a bit, sent it back to the House for a completion. And since February, the House leadership failed to take that bill up. It needed to be voted on and sent to the governor for a signature to end these benefits. Now, I spoke very loudly in the last 2 weeks, a lame duck, and said, now's time to vote on this. Let's get it done. But the House leadership refused to take it up, even though they had plenty of time to vote in lame duck on things like legalizing fuzzy dice hanging from your car mirror.
And you mean that literally?
I mean literally. They actually voted on a bill legalizing dangling objects from your car mirror. An example was given of fuzzy dice.
I guess I'm a little dumbstruck.
Well, you and me both. I mean, there's so many reforms we could have been making that simply were not taken up, and we had the time. In fact, we went into a marathon session, started at 9 a.m. in the morning. We were there all night and into the next morning. Never took up any of those benefits.
Now, on the surface, it looks like, well, it's just because the folks there they're voting on ending their own benefits. I mean, is it that obvious?
Well, that's part of it. You know, we have successfully taken a pay cut. January 1, every senator, every representative, the governor will take a 10% pay cut. Our offices have been cut severely. All Senate offices will be cut, a staff member. We will all pay more into our current insurance. None of us have a big retirement. It's all been changed to a 401k. That's all appropriate and, you know, comparable to what's in the private sector. However, this health benefit needs to go, and that's one of the first bills I'll be working on in 2011.
What do you know, the 6 years you find, you know, not appropriate, what do you find appropriate? Just to be more in step with the private sector?
Yes, it certainly should be more in step with the private sector, or at least other state employees. Now, the typical state employee works 30 years, and they get 3% a year towards their retirement health insurance. So if they work 30 years, they would have 90% of their health insurance paid, and they would have to pay the 10%. Certainly, senators and representatives and governors should get no better than any state employee.
Sure. We had a moment to chat yesterday, just for a moment, and I was intrigued by a subject you threw out to me about losing a federal grant in regard to hiring veterans. This looked like a great idea to me and something that certainly we needed. If you could tell our listeners about that.
Well, the state of Michigan applied for and got a $500,000 federal grant. The purpose was to hire veterans to assist our veterans in need coming back from overseas. We have many veterans, some disabled, coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And this money could have easily have hired 9 or 10 people to assist those veterans. The money was never spent. Simply, it was left there by DLEG, a department of the state. And I've been investigating this. I've called the federal authorities, and they have confirmed to me that the money's gone. It's gone because it was not spent not only during the first year, the first fiscal year, but also in the fifth quarter when they still had an opportunity to spend it. It was not spent.
So we simply lost the opportunity for a program like that to be funded by the federal government.
Yes, the state lost the opportunity for the program for our veterans, and it lost those jobs for that time period. And that's pretty shocking. I'm not saying anything criminal was done or the money was misappropriated. That's not the case. I'm just asking, where is the competence of the system? Why wasn't this properly handled?
Certainly. There was an article written recently that I came across that basically the headline was the Michigan Republican Party was in for a rough time ahead. How do you respond just basically to a headline like that?
Well, I think the Michigan Republican Party, if you're referring to the elected senators and representatives, are ready,
yes,
for the tough task ahead. You know, we knew that this was going to be a tough 2 years ahead of us. And working with Rick Snyder, who I think is very capable, he's a former CEO. He understands what we need to do to turn the state around. And we understand that it's not going to be easy. There will be some groups, some people get angry if their program gets cut. But we have a choice. We can either change the way we spend money in Michigan, or we're going to have massive tax increases. And 99% of my constituents say, don't raise my taxes, fix the state, be frugal, you know, prioritize how you spend money.
Mm-hmm. Now, the budget issue certainly be off the top. We've got about a minute left. It's not fair to ask you, but just jumping in and tackling the budget will be kind of where we get started, I'm guessing.
Yes. Governor Snyder is in the Detroit News today talking about his plans, changing the Michigan tax system right away, trying to get some of our different services out there to consolidate. I think he has some great ideas, and I hope to work with him.
Well, very good. What's the Jones family up to for the holidays?
Well, my family grew up in Battle Creek, and my wife and my daughter and son and grandkids will be visiting their grandparents in Battle Creek.
Well, sounds wonderful. Senator-elect Rick Jones of Grand Ledge, pleasure to talk with you. I'm sure we'll be talking to you frequently in the new year. And have a great evening, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this break. Myself, Cheryl Fritz, and Scott Eckersley on 1320 WILS.